What's up, divas? I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the Alexi Podcast, and you're tuning in to a fresh new episode. It's mid-November. The year is quickly coming to an end. And typically, I've had a lot of hard seasons of my life, specifically around this time of year. History repeats itself, and generally, I'm pretty miserable by this time of year. Just for personal circumstances as well as daylight savings, a lot of things impacted. But last year, I really took matters into my own hands, and I'm continuing with that momentum this year. And I've made such a diligent effort to keep my spirits lifted come this time of year. And I really am tapping into the seasons and the holidays and trying to enjoy it for what it is. And I'm proud of myself for that. I want to give myself a pat on the back. So if, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas time, the holiday season is a little tricky for you. I don't know what your relationship is like with your family, or if you've lost loved ones and this is a grief reminder, I just want to A, say that I've been there, but also B, that there are steps that you can take to make yourself feel a lot better or a little better. Any better is better than worse. Brilliant advice, I know. Really, really wise over here. And last year, I actually hosted Christmas myself. I had friends that were still in town, you know, people that didn't celebrate Christmas normally come over and have a big breakfast at my house, and we played games. And it was the absolute most perfect Christmas I've had in many, many, many years. I do think I'm going to go home this year for Christmas, but I'm just keeping my spirits up, and I wanted to acknowledge that. Also, I've been doing a lot of fun activities lately. I'm feeling like the luckiest girl in the world. Let me tell you, even yesterday I was running a bunch of errands, still felt so lucky during them. For example, I went to a concert last Thursday. I get home that night, can't find my wallet, I'll figure it out tomorrow. Wake up Friday, still can't find it. Everything else that was in my purse, my lipstick, my compact mirror, my keys, everything is put in their place. And I'm someone that has a place for all of my belongings. So for it to not be in its place doesn't make sense. I didn't remember it falling out in the Uber. But I was looking at my bank charges. There were no charges on it. I ended up leaving it at the concert. But we were so close to the front and in seats that not that many people would have passed it. So it didn't get stolen, thankfully. And it was a cute little Miu Miu card holder. No one stole it. The venue found it. No charges were made on the card. I got it back. I've also temporarily misplaced my wired headphones. I have a feeling my friend that was staying with me was maybe took them with her. So I went to the store. They had one pair left. Got those. Then I wanted to get a little adapter, the dongle. Such a strange word, but whatever. Went to a convenience store to get it because the store didn't have them. Same situation. The woman's like, oh my God, no, we used to have them. Wait, we have one left. So I got that. She goes, you are so lucky. And I was feeling so lucky. These are small things, but they happened back to back. Actually, three did. Last pair of headphones, last adapter, wallet was found, was not stolen. Good things. Good things. I went to an NFL game on Monday. Same thing. I probably shouldn't say this, but I was driving in the parking lot and the woman said, are you here to pay for parking? I said, yes, I am. She goes, it'll be $200. I was very surprised because I fully expected, I don't know, 50, 60, 200. That was more than the ticket that I paid for. And she's like, I know, it's crazy. And then looked at me, gave me a blink, blink, and said, just turn that way, blink, blink, to exit. And so I turned that way. And then I realized she let me in. She just let me in. So I got to park for free, which also felt so, 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 so lucky. And then when we got there, my friend really wanted white wine. And we get to the bar and they're like, oh, yeah, yeah, we're out of white wine. And so I said, red is totally fine. Then she comes back. She said, we have one left. And so my friend got to have white wine. It seems to be that constantly right now, at least this week. And these examples are all from Monday and Tuesday. It's currently Wednesday. So feeling pretty lucky. Also, one of my best friends, she absolutely adores Aviator Nation. I've known this forever. She is their number one fan. So I see that I get invited to an Aviator Nation event and I think, oh, I hope they give me a plus one because I know the perfect person to bring. And not only did they give me a plus one, They're dressing us both in outfits. So I get to bring one of my best friends to an event of one of her favorite brands, and she gets to get free clothes from them. It's all feeling very good. And as I said, it's only Wednesday. It's been a fun week. I filmed a YouTube video on Monday. It's all about the concept of dating and how I've changed my mind about it, and I'm back in the dating world and it feels good. And then Hinge sponsored it, which is so sick. So when you see that video, give it some love. I'm so grateful when there's a video that you already want to make and then a brand that you already use wants to sponsor it. Best case scenario. That's like, I don't know if I can say this, but a drink that I really like wants to sponsor a TikTok. And I'm like, y'all, this is, everything's just feeling really nice. It's all feeling really nice. I do have to say that even though it's daylight savings, I do think the warm weather that Southern California has right now is aiding to these nice, happy moods that I'm experiencing. Okay, so I filmed a video on Monday. Then I went to the football game. The Miami Dolphins, it was the Miami Dolphins versus the LA Rams. The Miami Dolphins were not suspected to win, but they did. And that's who I was going rooting for. I was really rooting for Emily June because she's like, you should really come. The Dolphins are going to be in LA and they need your support, as if it's some small business that I'm supporting this NFL team. But I said, you know what? That sounds like fun. So I went, and I went with my friend, and we know very average amounts about football. And Emily's yelling at us from downstairs being like, pay attention, because she had better seats, because she needed better seats because she's the actual fan. We were just kind of going for fun. They won. It was really silly to go with a girl, and we were just drinking wine, eating popcorn, chatting. I'm like, wait, so the divorce happened when you were 3? Then when did your dad actually end up moving to New York? And then I would get so involved in conversation and then realize I'm watching football. I'm just one of the girls, like, drinking wine, eating popcorn, gabbing. And then, oh, I'm at this really, really cool thing. It was really fun. Tuesday was an easy, easy breezy day. I'm just feeling lucky. You know what I mean? And then Tuesday morning, I receive a call from the venue that I went to the concert at saying, hey, yeah, yeah, we have your wallet. It's Mau Mau. It's red checkered. Come get it whenever. So I get it. I get the headphones. I pick up an AirTag, obviously, because I'm not risking losing my wallet again. Get the headphones, get the dongle, get a car wash, go home, work, meet up with my friend at a coffee shop, go on a long afternoon walk. Then I went to see Conclave last night. I'm an AMC Stubbs member. You pay like $20-25 a month and you can go to any AMC and see as many movies as you want. I think it's up to 3 a week, but that's plenty for me. So the movies I've seen, because movies have also become a major recreational activity for me. In the past month, I've seen We Live in Time, The Wild Robot, and Nora, and then as of last night, Conclave. I also watched American Gigolo at home. It's a 1980s Richard Gere movie. He plays an escort to the rich and famous women in Los Angeles. And I love watching a movie made before 2000. I like the color correction. There's a feeling to it that I like. And then the style is so good. I was watching the Menendez Brothers Netflix series. Love their style. Loved Richard Gere's style. I think it was sponsored by Armani, so he's wearing Armani the entire time. He looks chef's kiss. And then Conclave is about the re-election of the next pope after the existing pope passed away. And that I didn't think that I would like nearly as much as I did. It was such a pleasant surprise. It was a nice movie. It was a nice movie. I don't want to give it away because the premise, you're there for the journey, but I highly recommend going to see that. Then as for books, I finished reading The Tao of Pooh. I think it was a high school read for some people because a couple friends of mine who saw me reading it said, oh, that's one of my favorite books that I had to read in high school. I did not have that on my reading list, but it's about teaching Taoism, sort of this mindfulness practice through the lens of Winnie the Pooh. For example, something like sitting on a deck, the person who hears the bird and smiles versus the person who is able to see the bird and identify what kind of bird it is and where that bird comes from. Who is ultimately more wise? The person who is noticing the bird and enjoying the song, or the person that's able, who might be quintessentially smarter because they know more? It's like, are they actually better off? So finish that. And then I'm about to finish, probably in the next day or two, The Invention of Wings by Sue Monk Kidd. She's the author of The Secret Life of Bees. I started reading The Invention of Wings back in summer of 2020, but George Floyd had just been murdered, and I think it was just too sensitive and too raw to read a book. A back and forth narrative between Sarah and Handful, a white girl and a black girl, in the 1800s in Charleston, South Carolina, and the life of a Southern white woman versus a Southern black woman who is in slavery and their journeys. And I think it was just too hard. So I closed that book for a while, and I've been slowly reading it in parts over the last 4 years. And finally, after I finished The Tao of Pooh, I decided, let's finish this book. Let's finish this book. And I think I even still had it on Audible. So I was like, you can even listen to it. So that's what I listened to on my way to and from the NFL game. I don't know why I keep calling it the NFL game and not the football game. I don't know. But I've just noticed myself saying that, not that it matters. So that's the next book to be finished. And I'm not sure what I'm going to read next. My friend Austin gave me a book called Burn. So I think I'm going to check that one out. And it's a story of two boys. I forget the author right now. But it's the story of two boys that go on a camping trip every single year. And I think they get stranded, if I'm not mistaken. Haven't started reading it. But if you have any recommendations, I'm always down to check them out. I also love any opportunity to read a book that is highly regarded that I haven't gotten around to. So if you have any classics, I feel like I should read, what else is on my list? A Portrait of Dorian Gray. A Picture of Dorian Gray? The Oscar Wilde book. I can't remember the title right now. And then I was also thinking about reading The Secret History again. That's by Donna Tartt. I haven't read The Goldfinch, but that has been on my to-be-read list for quite some time now. But The Secret History, Dark Academia, it was really popular online maybe 2 or 3 years ago. It's such a well-written, airtight story. I love it. And it feels very fall, winter. So I highly recommend if you've never read that before. It's a little bit of a long book, but it's worth it. It is so absolutely worth it. I rarely read books twice. I actively would enjoy reading that a second time. Other updates in my life. I'm on week 7 of The Artist's Way. Or week 8. Have I just begun week 8? I'm still journaling 3 pages a day, or at least aiming to. That's the season I've been in. I can't believe it's already... At the same time, I can't believe it's only been 8 weeks. I guess that's 2 months. But I've really become so involved with my journal in such a way that I haven't been in the past. Or just more than ever before. I can't remember not being this heavily involved with my journal. Thanksgiving is going to be quickly approaching. I'm probably going to stay here. I think when it comes to living somewhere that's at least a flight away, most people either have the luxury of going home for the entire time or they'll pick one, and I think I'm going to pick Christmas. As for this evening, I was going to go play pickleball with TK, but I didn't realize it was in Santa Monica during rush hour. And I still to this day cannot believe that Los Angeles is the city that it is. I'm sorry, Silver Lake and Santa Monica are not the same city. The fact that that is considered the same city to me is mind-boggling. It will easily take me an hour to get there. That's how long it takes me to get to Washington, D.C. from where my dad lives, where I'm from in Virginia. And that is not even considered even a suburb of D.C. Where we live is not even considered Northern Virginia. So for Silver Lake and Santa Monica to be considered the same city, I mean, I went to Marina Del Rey a week or two ago. I'm like, that's a whole different world. Anyway, I digress. I was going to do that, but I do not have that in me. And I feel a little guilty about it, but I will play pickleball with her again. I'm sure of it. So I think as my little fun activity this evening, a friend and I are going to go play soccer at Griffith Park. And I didn't grow up playing soccer. I played hockey, so I'm not very good at soccer, but it seems fun. I played a little quick game of soccer with some friends at their house like several weeks ago, and I haven't kicked a soccer ball probably before that in, I don't know, many years. And it felt good, and I have a friend that plays soccer, so I think Sophia and I are going to go do that. And then tomorrow I'm doing something really exciting. I've had pet fever in such an extreme way. It's stronger than it's ever been before, ever. So I and Emily have applied to foster animals, and we have our orientation tomorrow. And I'm really excited because that also seems like a really nice way to move through daylight savings, seasonal depression, the holiday season, to have a little extra heart around, a little extra love, oh, a little furry friend, cat or dog, I do not care. I am afraid that I might accidentally adopt and I might be in over my head. I'm afraid because, for instance, this morning I woke up and my first thought was, if I had a puppy, I would have to get up right this second and take them out. And I had a little bit of selfish gratitude that I didn't have to, but it would be good for me. The routine would be nice. If you have a pet and you're on the Patreon, I'm going to start a little chat. I want to know if you have a pet, what kind of pet, what's it like? Give me the pros and cons. I mean, the pro is that you have a furry friend and the routine. The cons are you have a responsibility. But I'm 28. I can do that. Emily and I are also going to go to a little adoption event on Saturday. So there's a possibility. I don't want to say there's a probability, but there's a possibility. And I would love that. I don't know. I'm just thinking about how when I go on a walk now, I take note of every animal I see. I'm obsessed with animals right now. And it's extended beyond pets. Now I'm sending videos of squirrels to friends on a frequency that exceeds what it normally used to. I have so many photos of birds and squirrels, and I'm screenshotting gerbils that I see online. Like, it's extended beyond just cats and dogs. I'm animal obsessed right now, and I don't know what's going on. This is the strongest it's ever been. And that is what's up with me. That's what's going on in my head. Let's get into what's going on with you, the questions that you asked. I ask for questions every week on Instagram. My Instagram handle is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, just like the name of this podcast. So let's get into it, but first, a word from today's sponsors. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, R-E-J-O-Y-N.com. I was invited to a wedding at the Plaza. I could not be more excited. The color scheme is black and gold, so I can get a long black dress and I know that I will wear that again. But if maybe you're given a color scheme like desert neutrals or blue florals, you might not be wearing them as often, so it feels a little bit tougher on the wallet to be like, okay, here's $275 for a dress. And I don't know if I'm ever going to wear it again. Birdie Gray is about to be your new favorite. They believe that everyone in a wedding should be able to look and feel great without breaking the bank. And weddings are expensive, not just if you're the bride or a bridesmaid, but even a guest. So that's why all of their bridesmaid dresses start at just $99. You can pick a color and then they have every silhouette. You can do off the shoulder. You can do a little tank top. You can do, just take a look. They also have a stunning collection of budget-friendly little white dresses, all under $150. They have something for all bridal events, from engagement photos to bachelorette, even the honeymoon. Best of all, Birdie Gray offers free fabric color swatches to nail the perfect bridesmaid dress look for the crew. And just for my listeners, the first 5 swatches are free. Visit www.birdiegray.com now to get your first 5 swatches free with code LEXI. That's BIRDYGREY.com and find your perfect palette. Y'all already know what's up. The thing that we do not ever want to experience is the vicious week before our period when you start feeling like you could crawl out of your skin. Your skin gets covered in pimples. Mind you, the cravings, my God, could eat your own hand. But now it's easier than ever to manage PMS with Estro Control. Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormone health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. the way that estrocontrol eases PMS is quite interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't being processed well in the liver, women may start having PMS, spots on their skin, getting the cravings, feeling low and down all of a sudden. So estrocontrol was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month, because PMS, it can rob a week of your life every month, and that's so not fair. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, HappyMammoth.com, and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. A username with a bunch of letters, K-W-S-C-T-S-U, asked if I could speak any language fluently, what would I choose? Spanish first, French second. Hannah B30 asked for my favorite way to unwind after a long day. I actually like having two components to my evening. I like to do something social, and the extent of what that is has a pretty big range. For example, this evening, playing soccer not too far from my house with a friend. Last night, it was seeing a movie. The night before, it was something extravagant, like going to a football game. The day before that, I had four friends over, and I made a big pot of soup, and we watched American Gigolo. And that is such a fun way to transition to the next part of your day. Like, okay, you're done working, you can turn off, your personal life can be ignited now. So I have that aspect of the evening. And that could be even just a FaceTime with a friend while you eat dinner. And then my second unwind for the evening is once I take off my makeup, I change my clothes, I put my hair in a braid, and then I either lie in bed and I watch True Blood, or I read my book, or I listen to a guided meditation, or I color, or I journal, and I have that quiet time to myself before I fall asleep. And I think it's important that I have both, and I really like to have both. Some personal lifetime with my friends and some personal lifetime with myself. I think both are priorities. Taylor Fistel asked, other than your Free People boots, what are your favorite shoes right now? I recently pulled the Doc Marten cherry leather loafers out of the back of the closet. Those have been heavy on the rotation. I also have a pair of Miu Miu heels that look like cleats, and those get a good amount of wear. I wear those probably once a week. And then I recently got a pair of kitten heels from Lisa Says Ga, and those look great with just a black tank top, a pair of blue jeans, and those little kitten heels. You're good. Gets a little chilly, throw on a sweater, good to go. Violet Tolhurst, or Violette Tolhurst, said, I turn 24 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Violet. What's your number one piece of advice for 24? Well, I turned 24 March 15th, 2020, so right before the world shut down. So 24 to me was a time of solitude. I was alone in my apartment. If you have been a follower for a long time, you may have been a part of my week one alone in New York City, week two alone in New York City, week three alone in New York City. I had a vlog series, and it was the first time in my life where I actually learned to enjoy my own company. I used to get pretty panicked if I had time to myself that I didn't have a task to do. I wasn't afraid of being alone if I had work to do or if I had chores to do, but when I had free time and I was home alone, I would feel claustrophobic. Quarantine came and I had no choice but to be alone. And I really learned to get to know myself and to like myself, and that was a really growing year of my life. I learned a lot about myself that year in the confines of solitude. But my advice for turning 24 is that you're still so young. I remember aging into every single 20th year. When I turned 22, when I turned 23, when I turned 24, all those times I would think, okay, well, 23 sounds so young, but 24, oof, suddenly you're a real adult. But then I thought, oh my God, now you're 25. But as a 28-year-old looking on a 24-year-old, I think, oh my God, you're such a baby. You're so young. There's no pressure. The pressure that you have is the pressure that you're putting on yourself. There is still so much time to be stupid and to explore and to make mistakes. Leslie asked, is it silly to leave a long-term relationship due to differences in our love languages? if you have different love languages, I would try to adapt to them. Just because you receive love a certain way doesn't mean you're not capable of giving love a different way. So if you know that your partner loves physical touch and it would mean a lot to them to give them more hugs, to kind of like cuddle up next to them when they're cooking something on the stove, that's something you're fully capable of. If they love words of affirmations, to be mindful and take the extra time to verbalize your positive thoughts about them. The beautiful thing about love languages is once you know them, you can work accordingly to give people love in the way that they like to receive it. Now, if you've had a conversation about this and neither of you are willing to make changes to give love to the other in the way that you like to receive it, that feels like a different issue. That feels like a stubbornness. That feels an example that's coming to my mind because I really don't have very much context on this. I'm going off of a very small Instagram post. But let's say touch. I think people, all of us, have a really different relationship with being touched. Some people love to be touched. Some people really like their personal space. But when it comes to a romantic relationship, touch is a huge element of it because you're going to be intimate with each other. And if you don't really like being touched, maybe you have traumatic experiences in the past. I mean, as I said, I have no idea what this girl is actually going through. But for this particular example, let's say you really don't like being touched because it's triggering. Well, then if your partner loves touch and that is his way of feeling love, then just give him the spots that you like to be touched. Like, oh, you can hold my hand. You can rub my shoulder. Anything closer to my more intimate areas, I only want to be touched like that when we're being intimate with each other. But in public or while I'm dressed and we're doing things that are non-sexual, then feel free to, you know, touch my shoulder, touch my hand, you can touch my hair, whatever it is. Out of all the love languages, that feels like the only one that could be potentially an issue because doing an act of service, I don't know how that could ever be triggering or a gift. Now, this person did not mention being triggered whatsoever. I'm just trying to think of an example where that would be a reason for a breakup because these are all things that can be adjusted. An act of service can be done or received. A gift can be given or received. Touch is the only one that feels potentially dicey, but no, I don't think that that's necessarily a reason to break up with someone. I think there just needs to be a communication of this is how I like to receive love. So if you want to make me feel loved, which is an important, a huge component of a relationship, this is how I like to receive it. Elsie Valdivia, what stimulates you intellectually? I love when I'm having a conversation with someone and I know that they're getting all the gears turning in my brain. Now that is probably the exact definition of being stimulated intellectually where your brain's gears are moving, but I love any chance when I'm listening to someone talk or they're engaging in a conversation or I get to engage in a conversation with them where I realize, wow, I'm actively learning things every single second and they're things that I've never really thought about or this conversation is actually moving me in some way. So I like doing it through conversation. I also find that to be so attractive. If a man is intellectually stimulating to me, I think I would fall so much faster and so much harder. But there's not a particular topic that does it for me. It's really just the concept of me learning quickly in real time. I just love learning something new. Aww. Nalza too, thank you so much for the nice compliment. I'm glad you like the pod. Nympha4444, how do you find the balance between being vulnerable and oversharing? Love the pod. It's probably best when sharing something to sort of have gone through it and reflected on it. To share it, I think, is the smartest way to do it because it can get a little tricky when you're going through it in real time, which is something I have to be wary of having a podcast. And for example, I decided to live stream on TikTok a few times this week. I never do that. So I'm not thinking and I'm way too comfortable on the internet and I should really watch it sometimes because I accidentally said someone's first and last name because I wasn't thinking about it. Someone's like, oh, do you know this boutique in Middleburg? And I was like, oh my God, blah, blah, used to work there. Okay, well, you're on the internet. You're not talking to a person you know. You should not be saying a first and last name. And that's keeping me up at night. I feel really stupid about that. Also, I made a comment about my friend's boobs, and it's like, yeah, maybe not. So I think oversharing, please avoid bringing up other people. That's a really easy way to be oversharing. Vulnerability can come in so many ways that don't require oversharing. You know, when people discuss something really difficult that they went through, that's a moment of vulnerability, but they don't have to give us these details. There's a line. How do I balance it? I don't know. I really try my best, but sometimes I slip up and I do really stupid things. So I don't know. I want to say intuitively, but I also feel like I will say something and then realize, okay, I should not have said that. I've made some really, really stupid mistakes in the past, and I will probably continue to make them in the future, but there are certain videos that I look back on that I posted on YouTube. I don't know if you guys remember, but I had this second YouTube channel where I think was probably what was the birth of this podcast before the Lexi podcast. I forget the channel name. And I would have videos that I recorded on my photo booth on my computer, and they were stream of consciousness. And I said some really mean things on them. I said some things that I didn't actually mean. I was just a young, angsty teenager, 20-year-old, saying things that I hadn't fully thought through, and I hadn't thought how they would affect others. And I had responses from people that had watched them and said that was really mean. You know, like maybe I said I was going through something with a friend or with my family, and that's not fair to share on the internet. And I look back and it sends a chill through my spine thinking about that channel, because it was so cathartic for me, but it was damaging to others. So that was vulnerable, quote unquote, but it was absolutely oversharing, and it was not in good taste. Whereas now I really try to only share names or friends if it's in relation to something quite casual or something quite positive or something that I know that they wouldn't have an issue with. I've also run into issues on vlogs where I'll include something of someone and they're like, why did you post that aspect of me on the internet? And it's probably because I would post that aspect of myself on the internet, but everyone is different and there are some people that prefer to be offline. So how do I balance it? I feel like I'm learning kind of in real time, but I try to be smart about it, but I've definitely made a slew of mistakes. Completely different direction. Ella Lawrence asked, my favorite fruit of all time. Well, right now it's a Honeycrisp apple because it's apple season. I have so many favorite fruits. I really like fruit. I like a lot of them. My top tier fruits, if we're making one of those lists where there'd be God tier, incredible, you know, that people used to have, what were they called? Those charts that people used to do on YouTube all the time. They'd be like ranking all the Taylor Swift albums, or I don't even remember. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, this is irrelevant. Favorite fruits. My top tier favorite fruits. Honeycrisp apple, blackberries, pineapple, mango, kiwi. Those are the best. Those are the absolute best. Then we have strawberries, raspberries, persimmons, dates, bananas. Those are all sort of like second string. Happy to eat them, but would not be my first choice. Third string, well, if it's a really good one and it's summertime, I do love a melon, but melons are probably third string. I don't know. Tyra would disagree. Tyra thinks I love melon. Tyra will see me do something one time and she's like, wow, you love that, don't you? I'm like, girl, I bought two melons. But yeah, I do like melons. But my absolute favorites, my top tier, are blackberries, apples, pineapple, and kiwi, and mango. Yasmin asked, do I ever think about running a marathon? Yes, absolutely. I've been somewhat anxious recently, and one of the best, healthiest activities you can do with anxiety is long distance running. It really helps with that extra jittery energy that you have that you don't really know what to do with. I really think that people going through grief, experiencing loss, long distance running is such a great mode of exercise or activity to do during those periods of time. That's my personal experience. and there was just the New York City Marathon, and I knew a couple of people running in it, and this girl that I follow on TikTok, who seems like the cynical type that would run a marathon and say on TikTok, you never need to do that. She's like, learn from me. You never need to do that. That's what I expected. And then she said, if you've ever wanted to run a marathon, you have to do it. You have to do it. So that changed my mind a little bit, because I've run a half marathon before and that felt decent enough. 13 miles seems like plenty. 26.2, that's a lot, because 13.1 was a lot, and that is the halfway mark of a marathon. And it's hard to imagine running two half marathons back to back. But I do consider it. There's a Los Angeles marathon, I think, in March, and I have two friends running it. Now would be the time to start training. Yeah, I'm not so sure. The answer is yes, but I don't know if I'm actually ready yet. But if you are, I cannot recommend the Nike Run Club app enough. The guided runs on there, they have training programs on there. That's what I used to train for the half marathon, and it really prepared me. And it's free. Dash asked for my go-to morning beverage winter edition. Here's the thing. I live in Southern California, so I'm still drinking iced coffee. It's chilly, quote-unquote, in the morning, but that's like 65 degrees Fahrenheit. So I'm still drinking iced coffee. But one of my favorite winter edition go-to morning beverages, in addition to like a hot coffee with cream, is English breakfast, or no, Earl Grey tea. Earl Grey tea with cinnamon and warm almond milk. I love that. Oh, I love Earl Grey. I just pushed the couch back over my excitement over Earl Grey. And Earl Grey reminds me of my mom. Yeah. Sorry, not to talk about, you know. Well, yeah, I want to talk about my mom just for a second. I will sometimes wonder, you know, okay, like, should I keep this item because it was my mom's? For example, I have this bathrobe that's my mom's, but it makes me really upset when I see it. So I can't remember. I'm 95% sure that I donated it because it made me so upset when I saw it. It wasn't, versus I have a bracelet that I wear every day that says my mom's name, and when I see it, I smile. And I have a tattoo that reminds me of my mom, and when I see it, I smile. Whereas the bathrobe, that was her bathrobe that she wore, and I couldn't do it. I hated it, but then I felt so guilty giving it away. So I'm like, that's your mom's. Like, that's my mom's. I don't want to get rid of that. But as Marie Kondo would say, it didn't spark joy. And then I'll have a moment like just now where I'll mention Earl Grey, and then my whole body will light up because it reminds me of my mom. And then I remember, you don't have to keep things like that. You don't have to keep the bathrobe. You're not going to forget about your mom. I'm not going to forget about my mom just because I don't have the bathrobe that she wore. Because I'm going to cough after eating ice cream, and it's going to remind me of her because she would do that too. I'm going to say Earl Grey, and I'm going to think about her because that was her favorite. So anyway, that's my favorite go-to beverage in the winter. Maeve Miranda asks, what's my go-to cocktail to order at a bar? If it's a cocktail bar, then a dirty martini for sure. And then if it's a dive bar, I don't know, maybe a gin tonic, a beer. And then if we're at a Mexican restaurant, a margarita, obviously. Margaritas and dirty martinis are my favorite cocktails by far. Okay, now I need to take some time to think about what the extended episode is going to be for the Patreon. Because at first, I was thinking, okay, we can talk about my mom. But I don't know if I want to do that. I really like the moment that I just had, but I don't know if I need to expand on it. You know what? I've been training for a second job, and I haven't wanted to speak about it too much in public because I'm not working yet. I'm still training, but I want to talk about that, I think, on the Patreon. So if you're interested in the second job that I'm looking to take, you can keep on listening. I'll have a link for the Patreon in the show notes. But if you're listening to this on Spotify or Apple or wherever you listen to podcasts, thank you so much for listening this far. I really appreciate it. It's so sweet. And I'm glad that I get to talk to you guys every single week. So I will be back next week. Check out my video on YouTube. I just posted a little Get Ready With Me on Instagram. So if you want to check it out so you can see my gorgeous, perfect face. I'm just kidding. You can do that. And I will talk to you guys later. Thanks for listening. XOXO, Lexi.